For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
The Lord has made. It is a good day, a good night, a good time. Good time, praise God. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you today. We thank you for your wonderful blessing, the blessing that has been purchased and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his blood. We are redeemed people. We praise you for that, Lord. We are rejoicing in that fact. And Lord, we ask that tonight you stretch forth your hand, you minister to the people, use my lips and tongue, use me, Lord, and use your people here in the name of Jesus. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Tonight we're looking at redeemed from destruction. Redeemed from destruction. And there is a reality of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And you know, we have to see that reality on the inside of us. It must be real on the inside of us, in our inner man, in our heart. This is so very, very important because there's so much blindness around. Blindness to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He paid the price. He paid the price for sin and all the effects of sin so that we can be saved, we can be free. And even tonight, that manifestation of freedom is available. You know, we have to understand that there are what we can call blessing connectors that we can make. Blessing connectors. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 5. And we'll look at this and just think about the blessing connectors, first of all. And then we'll look at in more detail about what it means to be redeemed from destruction. In Matthew 5, we see this is Jesus. We'll start from verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them. Jesus was a wonderful teacher, always remember that. And taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Do you think Jesus is all about getting blessing to people? I think you can see very clearly here, he's wanting to show people how they can walk in blessing. We have to understand this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is still alive. He was raised from the dead and he lives. He lives. He lives in us who are born again. He lives, and because he's alive, because he's a living Saviour, there is blessing to be walked in. Now, I just want to have a look at a couple of these in particular. We see here in verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, the hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you think about hunger and real thirst. If you've been really hungry or really thirsty, you are really desiring the food and drink, aren't you? Have you ever, just think back at a time when you've had that thirst, and you need to slake that thirst or that hunger. You really need to have a good juicy meal. Well, there is a hungering and thirsting in the spirit as well after righteousness. And there's a blessing attached to that. So many people don't understand that. There's a blessing attached to that. It says, for they shall be filled. You know, there's several things that the Lord talks about being filled. Filled with the knowledge of the will of God, for example. Filled with the Spirit of God. You know, it's important for us to seek the Lord, because it talks about rewards coming for those that diligently seek the Lord. And also look at verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There's some people that say, oh, I can't see God at all. Where's the evidence for God? Well, that is an indication of their impurity of heart. But those that are pure in heart, and the heart is talking about the inner man, they're serious for God. They're serious. They say, I will deal with the sin. I will deal with what needs to be dealt with so that I can walk in the ways of God. There's a seriousness involved in that. And there's a blessing attached to that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God and his manifestations, not just when they go to heaven, but in their life. Doesn't the Bible say, lay hold on eternal life? Eternal life doesn't start when you get to heaven. It starts when you're born again. And in eternal life is what we call redemption. So let's look at the great blessing that the Lord Jesus Christ came and gave in Galatians chapter 3. So let's look at that. Galatians chapter 3. We must be people that see the reality of the blessing as opposed to the curse. And by seeing that reality, seeing the connection of that to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then walking in that, for example, by hungering and thirsting after righteousness, by maintaining a purity of heart. Okay? As we walk in that, then we can have the manifestation of God's blessing in our heart, in our lives. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of people that they have a head knowledge about what we're talking about. Oh yes, I know that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. But their heart, when I talk about a heart knowledge, I'm talking about inwardly, they don't really believe it. Otherwise, their actions and their words would line up with it. And this is so very important for us to understand this. So as I said, there's many that have a mental assent to it, that say, oh yes, I believe, but really don't believe. There's many that are completely ignorant of this area, by the way, as well. Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Of course, everything of God is accessed through faith. So we see Christ hath redeemed us. There's a purchase there that's happened. What was the price that was paid? What was that was paid? The Bible says that God bought the church, or purchased the church, with his own blood. That says that in Acts 20. He purchased the church with his own blood. So we see that redemption, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the Bible tells us. Redemption is a very valuable thing. And not only that, it's a real thing. It's more real than the things that you can feel with your hands or see with your eyes. Because everything you can feel with your hands and see with your eyes is temporal. But the blood of Christ is eternal. Redemption is eternal. And so the reality of it must be very clear in our hearts, in our minds, and of course in our bodies. It will manifest as we believe it, as we act upon what the Lord has said here. So Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. We need to understand what the curse of the law is. We'll have a little bit of a look at that in a minute. Being made a curse for us. Now that's an important thing to understand. There is a substitution here. He was made a curse for us. And verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile, that's us, through Jesus Christ. So you see, there was Jesus who was made a curse for us. He took sin upon himself on the cross. The Bible says, he accursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he took the curse that we deserved. He took the punishment that we deserved. He took the anguish that we deserved. He took the destruction that we deserved. And what did he give us? He gave us eternal life with all its blessings involved in it. He gave us blessing. And I ask the question again, does Jesus want to connect us to blessing? He does. He wants to connect us to blessing. He wants to take us right out of the curse and connect us to blessing, spirit, soul, and body. So Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us. That's for you, for me, for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. So we should call ourselves redeemed people and blessed people. Look at Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. And take note of what it says here. We must put into our mouths the right things. We must put into our hearts the right things. Remember, blessed is the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to see God manifested in your life? You want to see that blessing manifested? Keep the purity of heart. You need to hunger and thirst after righteousness, which is not just a simple, oh yes, I'll give 5 minutes to the Lord and 7 hours to watching television. It must be changed around. There has to be things changed in our life. We have to take up the sword of the Spirit. We have to take up the things of the Lord. The Bible says to put on the new man. The new man has new characteristics, new ways of thinking, new ways of doing. The Bible says to put on the new man. Here we see in Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2, and you know, it requires you to open your mouth. Notice what it says here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Didn't Jesus go around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil? Certainly. He is good. Didn't Jesus come and redeem us from the curse of the law? He is good. Didn't he want blessing upon you because you're redeemed? He is good. Oh, give thanks. So you need to give thanks. You need to thank the Lord. You need to open your mouth and thank the Lord. And on a daily basis. For some, it might need to be on an hourly, a minutely basis. But you need to get it into your mouth. You need to have a joy about the reality of what God has done. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Forever. Remember what I said before? The blood of Jesus, the redemption, is more real than even these things you can touch and see. Because everything you can touch and see is temporal. But the redemption of the Lord is forever. The blessing of the Lord is forever. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is forever. Now, two is a crucial thing for the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Who's your enemy? Some people think it's flesh and blood. But your enemy, the Bible says, the devil is the adversary, the enemy. Your enemy, you've been redeemed from his hand. You've been redeemed from his hand. Let's say that. I have been redeemed. Redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You and me, we have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law, because the enemy operates in the curse. We should understand that. Of course, all sin is judged. What you want is it for it to be judged because of what Christ has done. He took that judgment. He became a curse for us. And you receive the blessing. And you walk in that blessing. And you don't allow the things of the enemy to stop you from getting that blessing manifested in your life. So one of the things is you need to have it so real on the inside of you, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So real on the inside of you that you say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, including his healing mercy, endureth forever. God's mercy, it's here tonight. It's available tonight. It's available for all who hear this, if only you believe. Are you redeemed is the first question. Are you redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? Have you received him and become a child of God? And if you are, then now that's the reality. You're a new creature in Christ. Now you put on the new man. Now you walk according to the new man. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Have a look at Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Psalm 103. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price for us to walk in strength, to walk in healing, to walk in victory, to walk in triumph. The Bible says this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is appropriated, is laid hold upon by faith. Psalm 103, starting from verse 1, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." How do you forget not all of God's benefits? Well, you should speak to your soul. You should say, "Soul, remember God's benefits." But do you know the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions? For you to be able to remember it, it has to be in there. How does it get in there? You put value upon it. You put priority upon it. You say, "I will look at the Word of God. I will listen to the Word of God. I will put time, and I will say it." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Isn't this something we can say? My life is redeemed from destruction. Let's say that. My life is redeemed from destruction. Let's say it again. My life is redeemed from destruction. Glory to God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You have to see the reality of your redemption. And as you see that reality, which you see through the scriptures, by looking into the Word of God, as you see and understand that reality, as you feed on the Word and bring it into your life, graft it into your soul, get your mind renewed, as you understand it, as you feed upon this, then it's not going to be a hard thing to say it as a redeemed person. You see what I'm saying? It's not going to be a hard thing to say it. It'll come out. It'll come out automatically. In fact, the more emphasis you put on it, the more it'll come out automatically. My life is redeemed from destruction. I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Ah, yes, says the devil, but what about this? What about that? What about that trouble? What about this? What about that pain? No. You say, no. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I have kept purity of heart. I hunger and thirst after righteousness. I put the word into my life, in my heart. I give priority to the Lord. And I see the reality. I see the reality through the word of God. I see the reality of the redemption that I have. I am redeemed from destruction. Under destruction. Under destruction is, and we can see it all around us, is sickness, is disease, is infirmity. But we need to say, I am redeemed from destruction. My life is redeemed from destruction. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. These are benefits. The healing of all your diseases. These are benefits. 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 You know, there's some people who don't have the opportunity to hear the word of healing preached. You do. Those who hear this sermon do. You know, but think back on the testimony, for example, of Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. He had people all around him telling him he was ready to be dead. But he believed the word over and above what they were saying. And he got up off his deathbed. You can read his testimony. Have a look at it. But we must have it as a reality in our hearts. You know, there's the preaching of the word of faith. There's the word which we have in front of us. The word that's available. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Look at Romans 4, verse 16 to 19. Romans 4, 16 to 19. God is showing us. He's showing us what we have. What do we have in Christ? What do we have? We have a real redemption. Not a fantasy one. Not something that's airy-fairy. Not something locked in heaven some decades away or whenever. But it's a reality that's here. That we can take hold of. But you know, we have to be people that put the word of truth into our mouth. And remember, what's more real? What's more real? Our redemption? The truth of the word of God? Or the temporal around us? Jesus said to speak to mountains, and that mountains seem to be fairly, if you're going to look at anything in the natural realm, mountains seem to be fairly secure and sort of like forever. But Jesus said, speak to the mountain and it'll move. So he saw and understood and wants you to understand that mountains, what some would see as the most secure thing in the natural realm, are just temporal. But you have to speak according to your redemption. Praise the Lord. Romans 4, verses 16 to 19. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Okay, he's the spiritual father of faith. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. This is important to understand. Calling those things which be not as though they were. You know, in my life I've got several examples which I could explain through of things that happened to my body, but I called those things that be not as though they were. A recent example was when my knee was giving way. It seemed every indication was that it was buckling under pressure and going worse and worse. But did I say, oh, my knee's getting worse and worse? No, I called those things which be not, that is, right now in the temporal realm, as though they were. They be not right now, but as though they were. What did I want? What was it that I've been redeemed from? Jesus took our infirmities, bare our sickness. I said, my knee is strong because the Lord is the strength of my knee. My knee is whole. Be whole in the name of Jesus. Be free. And now my testimony is that I walk free. It can take my full strength. My knee is pain-free. This is but one thing. I could go through many. And I invite you to come and ask me of those if you want. It's not a problem. And I'm sure many of us have that type of testimony. But we must see what our redemption is. It's a reality. It's a reality that is more real than the temporal. We calleth those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, who against hope, it's against natural hope, believed in hope, biblical hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So the word comes to you. The word of healing might come to you. Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus paid the price. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. That word comes to us. We have faith that can come out of that. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now there was a word that came to Abraham. So shall thy seed be. You know, the stars. He was told to look at the stars. So shall thy seed be. Look at the sand of the sea. So shall thy seed be. In other words, a great amount of descendants come from him who at that time had no child at all. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So what didn't he consider? Okay, he didn't consider the natural. And this is important. Some people, they say things like, I will not believe until I see. Well, that means you're linked to the natural. The Bible says, I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, which is quite the opposite to the world's philosophy. So here we see, he considered not his body, the natural. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So do you believe the word or not? But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Praise the Lord. You know, how do you get to be fully persuaded? How do you get to the stage where you're not staggering at the promise of God? Well, if you're linked constantly to having what the Bible calls a carnal mind, constantly thinking on the things of the world and the ways of the world, and you leave off the things of God and take opportunities to go away from the things of God, whereas the Bible says to be spiritually minded, we have to be people that understand what is the reality. Redemption is the reality. The blessing is there. It's the reality. And we call those things that be not as though they were. God is my strength. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. So that means people that are weak, they look weak, they feel weak. What should they be saying? I am weak? I'm weak. No, God says, say, I am strong. How do we say that? On the basis of the redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am strong through what he has done. I am healed through what he has done. I am redeemed from destruction, from the hand of the enemy, through what he has done. We consider not that which deviates from the word of God. This is so very important. And I want to finish with Deuteronomy 28, verses 58 to 66. You know, all sin is judged. Everything outside of the redemption of Christ, if a person does not receive what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, then there's nothing but judgment left. Or if a person neglects what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and if they say, well, you know, it might be real for some, but it hasn't been real for me. Be careful what you say there. If you're redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I am redeemed from destruction. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Let's look at what some aspects of the curse of the law is in Deuteronomy 28, 58 to 66. 58 says, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Well, that's holding on to having a pure heart, isn't it? All right, if you do observe the words of God, if you do fear the Lord and his name, that's holding on to having a pure heart. But if you don't, there's consequences to that. Verse 59, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee, until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldst not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. What a woeful condition. A cursed condition. You know, we don't have to be like that. We have a redemption. Our life is redeemed from destruction. We're not people that neglect the word. We're people that believe it. We're not people that say, well, it means nothing to me. We're saying it means everything to me. We're people that see the reality of God's redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's all bow our heads, because I believe the Lord wants me to give you an opportunity to respond tonight. As you've heard the word, you know there have been barriers. But it's not hard. It's not hard to say, Lord, forgive me. I let go of that. Forgive me. Even now, if there has been a barrier, a sin, a problem, something that's kept you back, say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Please wash me clean in the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I thank you, Lord. Perhaps you've given a priority on the wrong thing. Say, Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to give your word priority. I'm going to put it in front of my eyes. In front of my eyes and into my ears. And give it priority more than I have in the past. God wants you to say, he wants you to say the reality of the redemption that you have. You're redeemed from destruction. Your life is redeemed from destruction. You're redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. He wants you to know the reality of his redemption and to say that, to meditate on that, to believe it. To believe it so much that you say it. You say it out of your heart. You hunger and thirst after righteousness. God wants that for you. You should desire that.